Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It gets me every time. It's and Ben Taylor.
Can you hear the dogs barking? They liked it too. Can you hear
I
the
bet
dogs?
They love it. I bet they get wild whenever you do that.
Down there. They're downstairs right now going absolutely bananas. That's a first for that. That must have been a real good one, like loud too. Because
I can't believe they don't do it every time.
No, they don't do it every time.
It's first day of it's report day. Everybody reports.
You don't seem excited. You should be excited.
Man, I am excited. It was fun. Okay. It's kind of weird. There's a couple of things that are weird. Why we call it fall camp, even though there is going to be somewhat of a camp session this year, which we can talk about. And then we call it report day, but nobody ever leaves anymore. They're here all summer, so it's just like everybody's. Yeah, just okay. We're here. We're here. You know, yesterday
so
too.
So just to walk you through the reason this for the old heads like me, because I'm just a little bit older than Kyle, not a ton, but back in the day when I first got into media, report day was cool because back during the clearinghouse days, where the NCAA had to make your way through the clearinghouse, there were guys that would be late for report day, almost like late for spring training because of contracts, except it was because NCAA didn't push your name through because of an ACT score, SAT score, or something. So this used to be a big thing. Now, NCAA has zero control over anything anymore. So,
well, it's just another thing is, I mean, it was a traditional report day because some of the guys went home. I mean, we would always be worried. Remember, we'd always be worried because what would happen? Somebody's going to get arrested. Somebody's going to get arrested at home.
I didn't know you were going there. I thought you were like, going to get homesick, want to stay with mom.
Somebody's going to get in trouble. Somebody's going to get in trouble. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get arrested. Like, that was like our biggest fear.
I mean, it
fear.
Happened more at Florida State than anywhere else. But, I mean, yeah, you're
shoot,
right.
It happened at Auburn, too. I mean, Nick Marshall. Remember Nick Marshall got busted, in the summer. Funny story real quick, okay. before we get into the press conference, y'all like this. I was working with Gus's daughter. We worked at the same company when this was between 2013 and 2014. So Gus is hotter than a firecracker. Like he's the man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she had asked me, I don't remember, I can't remember how it happened, but she was like, hey, dad wants somebody to play golf with, super low key. Do you have a group or anything? He's free Saturday. I was like,
of course, Kyle lied and automatically, whether he had a group or not, was like, I'm in.
Well, at that point in time, I did have a group. We were actually not members anywhere. We were playing out at Grand National. And I actually had, it's funny, I had a tee time and everything. And it was the same guys. And I was like, hey, we got a fourth. I can't tell you who it is. But just, be on the lookout. And it was set up, we were supposed to play, and then Nick Marshall got arrested.
Oh,
I totally forgot about that story.
What a great story.
Nick Marshall got arrested, and she's like, well, dad is a little preoccupied. He can't play this weekend.
And I probably know one or two of the guys that you were playing with that day. They were probably highly disappointed.
Yeah. They're like, so who are we going to play with? And I was like, well, it was going to be Gus Malzahn.
During his heyday, too. Not like Gus Malzahn.
When he was just as hot as a firecracker, coming off that 2013 season. Anyway. We had some press conference stuff today. Had Coach Golish, Joel Gordon, which I want to say that's the first time I've heard him speak in person. For whatever reason, I've missed him a couple of times when he's been – available. And then obviously DJ
probably
Durkin.
Only read quotes. I've probably never seen him speak in person.
And then DJ Durkin, who I just adore.
Yep.
I think he's fantastic.
Everybody does. Defensive players love him.
And a lot of good stuff. I know you haven't necessarily had a chance to read and look at all of it. So I figured I'd open the floor to you for questions and kind of interview style me like a press conference. So
yeah,
I
which is basically if what I've been doing all day anyway.
All the high points, and we can just have some fun with it.
Well, I will say the things that I've read that have come out, and I've, it's just stuff that's come across my timeline. And I did, being in media, like I've gotten copies of the press conference. I just told Kyle, I was like, it's going to take me 45 minutes to an hour to go through that to be able to. So I said, let's do this. Let me just interview you. You were there, so you can kind of recap things. So, I mean, I know that it's early, but like you said, guys never leave. So I guess the overall general attitude of Alex Golish going into this, because he always seems like he's all business. Like there's no excitement, but there's no letdown either. So I wondered if he was going to be disappointed, or he was going to drop those lines of we're nowhere close to where we need to be, or little things like that, little things that'll kind of temper expectations. So,
you know, it's funny. He actually used the word excited like 10 times. Like he said excited a lot. He said excited when he was talking about Stanton Ramil, him being back healthy. I think he said excited when he was talking about Omar Mabson, excited when he's talking about, you know, taking the guys off campus and staying at Grand National and getting that camp vibe. Like he actually said the word excited multiple. I think I actually wrote that down. I was like, this dude's excited. There's no doubt about it. He mentioned it several times. So vibes felt like extremely high, believe it or not. It was a different experience. I don't know that that necessarily means anything.
Probably not like the overall aspect of things, but I hate the doom and gloom coaches that go ahead and start tempering expectations on the very first day that they talk.
Yeah, it was not, it didn't feel that way.
And I mean, and that'll get done nationwide at other SEC programs. I mean, Kirby, he goes around, he's that negative. We got a long
practice
way to
hasn't
go.
Started yet.
Oh, I don't so know.
Like, we'll probably hear how bad we stink after practice one. Like that's probably going to happen. But as far as going into it, he says the best time of the year. We get to actually coach football again, and you know, I'm excited. He used the word multiple times.
So I've seen mixed reactions on socials as well as message boards, that kind of thing. Your thought on the camp atmosphere of them staying in Opelika and going to Grand National and hanging out with each other for the next few days?
First of all, it's brutal, man. You got to go to Grand National for a week. Paul Bear Bryant's rolling over in his grave. All those Junction Boy guys. No, I think it's really cool. And it's something that I would have never really thought of, I guess. That's why they used to call it camp, because it was literally like a camp. Think about, like, remember the Titans. You remember that camp?
That place looked like it sucked.
Yeah. Well, Grand National's not going to suck, but it is going to be a camp-like atmosphere. He said, no girlfriends, no pets, no nothing. Like, it's going to be 13 days. And what was funny, Ben, is all the buses were already lined up outside.
Oh,
so like when it was report day, like people legitimately were starting to file in, like players were starting to file in as we were getting done with the presser. So I assume they were going to eat lunch. And real funny story real quick. Not only did they eat lunch, but they were required to go eat lunch in the new cafeteria. It's called like the dye.
Okay.
Training table, the Pat and I training table. And there was like a whiteboard by where they get their food. And it was like, get your food, go sit down and eat in the dye. Yeah, and it said in parentheses, yes, you have to eat there. So it's like, yeah, you're going to all come in here. You're going to eat and you're going to go sit down together and eat. And then I assume they might meet and they're going to get on the buses and go to Grand National. So he said, you're going to go to sleep here. You're going to wake up. We're going to get on the bus. We're going to come to the facility. We're going to work. We're going to get on the bus. We're going to go back. And it's going to be like a camp. They have some planned off days where they'll do some activities. I think there's three planned off days is what he said in the 13 in the 13 days. So they'll go bowling, go see movies or, you know, stuff. Go to Hay Day, I think, one day is what he said. Like they're going to do stuff like that, but it's going to be like an old school camp. And he's going to pair up. I think he said he's pairing up like older guys with younger guys in rooms just to kind of build that chemistry. And, you know, when you're talking about be who you say you are and you want to build, you know, build a team, build that structure, build that camaraderie, like this is the way you don't just say it. This is kind of how you do it. I love it. He said he's done this every year he's been head coach. He did it at South Florida. And I kind of dig it.
I love it.
I can't think of a negative. Can you think of a negative?
No, because this takes away, Okay, let me just explain to you. There's rush going on campus right now.
Oh, babe.
Not that those guys would still, it doesn't hurt them to look. There's a lot of distractions that can take place. You know what I'm saying?
Distractions. He used the word distractions a lot.
There's other kids coming into camp, people like from their hometowns, maybe that they want to link up with, that kind of thing. There's no class. Yes, exactly.
So it's like
there's plenty of free like time to season. Get in trouble.
So much time to get in trouble.
Exactly. And so now they're going to be, I hate to say stuck with one another, because let's call it what it is, Kyle. This is going to be fun for them for the first couple of days. And then you're going to find out who the true leaders are in there, because they're going to be like, dude, like we can't go sneak downtown and go to Sky. We can't sneak
my girl in.
Yeah, can't sneak my girl in. Can't go to the park, you know. This so-and-so sorority is going to be at the park taking pictures today. Can't walk the dog down at the park to go see the new talent that's made its way on campus. Like none of that gets to take place. It is going to be – so I'm all for it. I like it. And I think at the end of camp when they come to – like it's going to create a stronger brotherhood amongst them.
No doubt.
Just because they're stuck with one another. You're stuck with one another. Like you got – misery loves company too. You got bad day at practice. Guess what? You got to talk to your buddy about that. You make a call home, talk to mom, but you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to go down to Hattie B's and sit and visit with some perfect strangers about how much the program sucks right now. So that's just not going to happen. So I love it because they're stuck depending on one another to get each other through. 13 days is a long time.
No doubt.
I've been on golf trips with guys, and after about 5 days, I'm ready to be done, ready to go see the family.
No, I'm with you. You said distractions is dead on. He mentioned that, like, we want to try to limit those. So it's cool. I like it. It's something I wasn't really expecting. I kind of heard rumblings about it.
Yeah.
They talked about it. That was like one of the first things that he talked about. So,
well, kinda cool. On a side note, time for me to hit Grand National up for some advertising, because surely that billing will be cheap for 13 straight days. So they're gonna have a little money in the budget.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. That's a good point.
To get back to the press, let's talk about some individual things. I read it sounds like he was asked about Omar Mabson. And the reason I ask about that is because that's a guy that, you know, on our radio stations, we called his games a lot for Auburn High. So
I want to correct you. He was not asked about Omar Mabson. He glowingly talked about him unprovoked. When the only thing he was asked was how do you plan to essentially share the carries, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was like, I love Omar Mabson. That was like it. That was his answer. And he's like, this guy loves Auburn. And what was crazy is it was almost like him and Joel Gordon talked about it in the hall beforehand, because Joel Gordon comes in and he starts talking about Omar Mabson's somewhat unprovoked. Like nobody said, tell us how you feel about Omar Mabson. Nobody said that. It was like, we're talking about running backs, and they both just start glowing over Omar Mabson. Said, hey, look, this guy from the time we got here, he said, Joel Gordon said, from the time we walked in the door, that guy has not stopped working his tail off. And he's made life interesting for that running back room. He's challenged a lot of guys. And I'll be honest, the way it sounded like was he's your running back number two.
That's what it sounded like. I told you, this is when we first started doing Afternoon Delight. I told you, I said, my 1-2 was going to be Cobb and Mabson.
You've been an Omar guy since the beginning. And another thing Goller said that was interesting, somebody asked him that when on the running back question was specifically like how many guys can you like truly expect to get playing, like see carries and things like that. And he had a funny answer. He's like 3.5.
You need three and a half
going into a game. This is what he said. What he said was, you need two guys. I thought this was interesting. You need two guys because you need two premier backs to rotate series. So
he's going to run the football.
he's going to run the football. But I thought that was interesting that it's not just like a feature back and you kind of sub a guy in. I mean, he acted like, hey, I want to go one series with one guy and then go the next series. And it's, you know, like almost like a 50-50 split. I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm,
that is interesting. Which would lead to, I guess, the 3.5. The other 1.5 guys would be used in the second half when those two guys are starting to.
Yeah, or somebody gets banged up or, you know, situationally. But, yeah, it felt like Cobb. They bragged on Cobb. They said he's gotten jacked, essentially. They told him that after their meetings in the postseason, they're like, you got to get bigger. And he took that as a challenge, and he came in bigger. He said, just got – changed his body, bulked up, and curious to see what that looks like. That should be that should be fun.
On a down note, I did see where he said it looks like an offensive lineman's probably out for a couple of months. And you and I have talked about how the offensive line, you know, they're barring injury, is going to be something that we would love to see come together, at least to give a little bit of time, because you've got the athletes in quarterback and running back to kind of make up for a subpar offensive line. But now it's needing more offensive linemen because you're going to be missing one.
So, yeah, he pretty much started off talking about injuries. He's like, we're going to go ahead and get this out of the way kind of thing, because I know y'all are going to see it tomorrow no matter what. But you're talking about Ty Buster, which we'll get there into in just a second. But Corey Wells, he was your superstar freshman interior defensive lineman, reported late. He's still rehabbing an injury from high school, but they think they're going to have him back before the end of fall camp. Chris Murray, I don't know if everybody saw. I'm sure everybody saw that and panicked. He posted a picture from like a hospital bed with it looked like a little wrap on his knee. I knew it wasn't a big deal. I actually kind of talked with him a little bit, and I knew he'd be back for Baylor. But he said, Golish said to expect him back in the middle of camp. Anquan Fagans got a little banged up.
Hold on. Let's go back to Murray. Yeah. I wonder if he got his hand slapped for posting a picture of bandaged knee. I'm sure he probably had like some fluid or something drained, but you said non-series. It doesn't sound like he had, you know, an ACL restructuring.
But it sent everybody into absolute panic is what it did.
And I said we thought that it'd be cool if one of them walked out in a boot just to fake everybody out. Well, it sounds like he went ahead and pulled that string and did it with a knee instead.
Right.
Since he'll be back before Baylor.
Anquan Fagans rehabbing something. He's day-to-day, not that huge of a deal. Shamar Arnaud, also day-to-day. Devin Williams was out for the year, and then because he tore his ACL in spring. And then the big one was Ty Buster, who he said should be available halfway, and then I think we were all expecting him to say camp, and he said the year. It's a pretty substantial injury that happened to him. Right towards the end of summer, kind of a freak thing. I don't know what it was. We actually saw him coming in on a scooter, one of those like you put your leg up on it, and he had a pretty heavy wrap on his like lower ankle area. So that stinks for depth. I don't think he was going to be a starter, but you know, you just don't want to lose depth. The good thing they brought in 19. Good thing they have like 18 or 19 offensive linemen, though.
Exactly.
But I hate that because he had a phenomenal spring. But overall, sounded extremely healthy. They were very – I know everybody's been anxious about Stanton Ramil, the transfer offensive tackle. They were very excited about – they actually used the word excited, both of them. Excited to have him back healthy is what they said. And he's kind of growing as a leader in that room, too. He'll be a big factor early on. So, other than that, I'm trying to think of some other interesting things. I took a ton of notes, and then I did like a this is interesting. So, DJ Durkin does not show – I don't think he's very an emotional guy. Like, he doesn't really show a lot. It's very boom, 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 boom. This is it. Like, short answers – I answer your question directly and we kind of move on. Someone asked him about Champ Anthony. It was a great question. I can't remember who it was, but essentially, like, he can kind of play everywhere. And where is he going to play? You know, And it's not so much the answer as it was DJ Durkin's facial expression when they started talking about Champ is like he started smiling and lighting up like I just don't typically see out of him. Like you could tell they are very excited to have Champ back healthy. And he was like, he could literally play any position. We're going to find one or two really good ones. Like we're going to work through camp and kind of figure out where he can play one or two spots. And we're going to kind of build packages around that. So,
hey Kyle, he's not like a huge guy, like super freak looking guy when he walks in a room, but apparently his athleticism is just off the charts.
You're talking about Champ?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's not the guy that is going to walk through your doorway and you're going to go, oh, super freak of the defense, like could play linebacker, defensive end, safety, and if they need him at corner, like that's not how he's built. But apparently his athleticism is just off the charts.
No doubt.
Coaches seem to see that and they all get excited about it. But that's encouraging to know that Durkin feels that way because you're right. He's kind of an all business guy when he's up there in front of the cameras and behind the microphone.
So. Yeah, he lit up like a Christmas tree when they were starting talking about Champ Anthony. So that was kind of cool to see. I just don't feel like you see that very much.
No.
And then the last thing that's probably the most.
Okay, I was going to ask. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, like, overall, like, you know, what stood out? Because I know we got to get out of here pretty soon. So what stood out? What is like?
Vibes overall were just great. I think everybody really enjoyed it. But the last thing I think that was the most interesting, he was asked about the that extra year of eligibility for the 2022 class. And he didn't say no. He didn't say no, we're not taking anybody. So let the speculation begin. I wonder, you know, could offensive line be something that somebody we look at now that you got an injury? Yeah, he definitely didn't say no. He said they're open to it. And he did say the talent pool is very specific and not very big. But he definitely said, hey, we got some room and we're open to it. That's what he said. He said, there's some room and we're open to it.
In other words, they're looking.
I mean, there's probably going to be some additions.
In other words, you know who does have their cell phones and laptops with them out at Grand National? The coaching staff. And they're going to be talking to some folks.
Yeah.
He
was very, I mean.
I kind of want to hear that. Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to hear that you, hey, if the rule's there, take advantage of it. If we got a chance to add some depth to the roster, we're going to do it.
He said Fridays, we always are. He's like, it seems like Fridays are when the those court rulings drop.
Yeah.
It's like every Friday we get ready for the rules to change. So, but yeah, I think that could be something to pay attention to.
I like it. Man, it's finally – I know we've been doing talking season, but now we got an opportunity to.
We're there, bro.
We're there. It's finally here. I mean, we're not playing not here, games.
We're there.
Yeah. We're not playing any games. There's no competition, but, you know, somebody asked me my wish at the office today. They said, well, I mean, it started. Like, what is your wish? And I said, health. Always health with me for the first few weeks because, like, you just talked about a freak incident at the end of the summer. I mean, it could be anything from stepping off a bus to a guy stepping on another guy's foot at practice. Like, because you're right.
Walking through the gym and like going doing a layup and coming down wrong. Like, it could be anything.
Yeah. Like, they're not popping pads right now. So, right now, I'm praying for health just because, no kidding. Like, they go to have movie night tonight and some guy could trip down the stairs in the dark and hurt something. And it's like, It's those freak things that you can't avoid because it happens every year to every program. I mean, maybe it did already with Auburn at the end of summer. Like
Tennessee, one of their big transfer corners they got from Miami tore his ACL. He's out for the year.
Yeah.
That make you want to throw up. Like if Andre Jordan popped up tomorrow and he tore his ACL and he'd be out. It's like your number one guy that you went and got.
Well, you're seeing the pros right now get together and all these guys that – kind of didn't do what they're supposed to do in the offseason. Their guys are dropping like flies right now.
The Falcons lost one of their best pass rushers.
Yeah. I mean, I saw two Achilles pop yesterday at the pro level. So you just don't know what you're in for. So right now, when somebody says, what do you want to get out of these first few weeks of practice?
I'm like, healthy.
Just be healthy after the first few weeks of practice.
I love it.
Then we'll worry about things. We'll worry about putting the game plan together after that.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, we got practice tomorrow. So we'll be talking practice for pretty much from here on out. We'll be talking about fall camp. And then next thing you know,
those listening, we'll how long are you going to be allowed to practice tomorrow? Did they say?
Probably 30 minutes.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be anything significant, but I'm grateful for it. And we'll have some good stuff to talk about.
Any hats being handed out tomorrow?
Probably not. I don't think Gullis doesn't seem like that kind of guy. That's still a great story. That's probably my favorite Harsin story.
That's by far my favorite. Because there were people either loved it or there were journalists that were like, this is stupid. He shouldn't have done this. This has never been done before.
Unprofessional.
It's very unprofessional. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Who cares? All right, we're going to get out of here, y'all. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and we'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.